9, there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now, so the bride of Christ is the Lamb's wife. The bride, the Lamb's wife. Notice we went over just quickly. Turn back to and look in Galatians chapter, and we're coming back to Revelation, but just look into Galatians chapter 4. And by the way, in Revelation 21, what did he see when he saw the Lamb's wife? Remember? He saw the city, didn't he? Jerusalem. Notice in Galatians chapter 4, verse 26, But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother. So he sees Jerusalem, so I know that Jerusalem, the city, is the Lamb's wife, the bride, the Lamb's bride. Am I, everybody with me on that? I mean, is there any doubt about this? But also, Galatians 4 said, Mother. Of us all. And of course, Paul's talking about the Galatian church there, which was in the covenants of promise, and they were Jews and Jewish proselytes, and they knew the law, they tried to keep, and they was going back under the law. And we have that phrase, alma mater, and it actually means my old mama, you know, who teaches, a mother. She teaches and trains her children. And so I'm just saying all of this to understand how can this be the body of Christ that the Ephesians was in. Now you got to remember the Ephesian church, they didn't have no law. They didn't have nothing to do with Israel. They were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And so they didn't eat anything that didn't eat them. They didn't try to keep the law to impress nobody. These were idol-worshiping Gentiles that heard that Jesus Christ had died for them, and they trusted that, and God saved them and put them in the body of Christ, just like you and me. They didn't have no Israel to bless. They couldn't get into the synagogue. I mean, on and on the thing goes. So how could they be a part of the wife, Jerusalem, the city, and the mother all at the same time? They can't. Now, I'm going to read some scripture, and it's like I hear a lot when you talk about, you will listen to the news, I'm going to report, you decide. And we're going to go through some scriptures, and you make your own mind up. Now, God has one wife. So let's look at some things. Turn back to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. In Revelation 19, in verse 7. Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His bride, Well, isn't a wife someone that's already married? His wife hath made herself what? Well, tell me something. Is that Pauline truth? Just right off the bat. Do you make yourself ready, fit for God? No. Paul said that God made Christ to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness in Him. He does the making on our part. Now notice verse 8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for fine linen is the righteousness of saints. It's not the righteousness of the saints. It's the righteousness of saints. Now that word righteousness, notice how it's translated. Turn to hang on to Revelation and look in Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. This same word, and it's translated righteousness in Romans chapter 2, verse 26. It says, therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for righteousness? Look in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Notice in verse 18. Romans 5:18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Well, the righteousness of one was Jesus Christ. You see, and there's Paul showing that he's the one that gave the righteousness. Romans chapter 2 is the righteousness of the law. You know what that word actually means? It's the righteous acts of an individual. In other words, this woman, this bride, this wife has kept the law and did righteous things in order to gain that fine linen that was given to her. That's not Pauline truth. If you want to see Pauline truth, hang on and turn up back to Titus and look in Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. This righteousness that has made herself righteous, for fine linen is the righteous, it's really the deeds, it's the acts of an individual to make themselves righteous. And we'll look at another verse, but look in Titus chapter 3, verse 4. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done. That's a whole different word in the Greek, and I'm not trying to teach you Greek, but the Greek word for that righteousness is a whole different ballgame. Different word, different everything. In other words, that word that's translated righteousness, I give you in Revelation, Romans 2, Romans 5, and it's also in Romans 8. That's the only four times that word is translated righteousness in the King James Bible, and it has to do with the righteous deeds of an individual. He says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Look in Romans chapter 8 for the last reference to that. And then we'll go back to Revelation 19. Romans chapter 8, verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, what's he saying? The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled. Well, look back and let's just go back and look at the context. In verse 1, he says there is not, therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Well, what is walking after the Spirit in the context? Doing righteous deeds to obtain righteousness by your righteous acts. Isn't that what people are trying to do today? They're trying to do righteous and goodness in order that they might say, I'm righteous, in order that they might gain God's favor someday. Instead of just trusting and what Christ has done for them, they add to it. But look on, verse 2. How do I know that walking after the flesh is doing righteous things of the law? Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do. Now why couldn't it do it? In that it was weak through the flesh. Well, that's the flesh of man. Man can't keep the law. You can't keep them Ten Commandments. But if you take the whole book of the law, and the Bible calls it a book, there's probably over 700, I think there's over 700 different commandments in there. There's dietary laws in that book of the law. There's clothing laws in that book of the law. It's more than just the Ten Commandments. And James says, if you break one of the least, you're guilty of them all. Now, if you think about that, one of the clothing laws is that you can't wear material of divers kinds of seed. Well, I doubt if anybody here's got all 100% cotton or wool or something on. Most of what we wear today is mixed in with a little something else. You couldn't plant a partial ground or a field with diverse seed, different kinds of seeds. Well, there went your garden right out the door. You couldn't eat nothing that didn't have fins and scales. And so, there went your catfish. There goes the shrimp. There goes all the good things that we like. You can't eat nothing pork. There goes your bacon. There goes the ham, pork chops. All of the things that we like. I mean, there's nobody in this building today that can keep that law. Why? Your flesh is weak. All right? Look what he said, for what the law could not do, in that it is weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And he goes on down there. The walking of the flesh is trying to keep that law in order to gain the righteousness that Jesus Christ has already gained for you. And your flesh is weak. So I went through all of that to show that that righteousness, he says, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. It's the righteous deeds of them. And they do righteous, they get the fine linen. For instance, turn back and look in Revelation chapter 14. Revelation 14. Revelation 14 is in the thing. Look what there is. And I told you them righteous deeds have to do with keeping that law. Look in Revelation 14, 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. Turn back to Revelation. Look in Revelation 12. Revelation 12. And notice in verse 17. Revelation 12, 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. In other words, those saints is keeping the commandments of God, and they have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's the keeping the faith, and they're going through that tribulation to the end. They get their heads cut off, or to the second coming of Christ, they get the fine linen. They are what is said, she has made herself ready. Not you. You're already ready. You already have the right, you're righteous right now. And one day God's going to change your vile body and give you a body like His glorious body where you can operate in the heavens. Now I want you to notice some things with me. Turn back to Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54. And we're going to go through these, and I'm going to try to keep these things in order so you'll just be going to your right. And we're going to look at some of these scriptures. Isaiah 54. And notice in Isaiah 54. I'm going to just break in there in verse 5. And he's talking to the children of Israel now. Well, let's go to verse 1. Sing, O barren. Thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not prevail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Come down to verse 5. For thy maker is thy husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercy will I gather thee. And when you find these scriptures, you're going to find God, there's a time element in there that God, the husband, forsakes her because of her deeds. But he said, I will gather her back. But in every verse, you're going to find this. Look in Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62. And like I say, I'm going to try to keep these references where we just go to the right. notice in Isaiah 62, let's see, verse 2, the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name. And that match Revelation chapter 3, I believe it is, to that church over there that it'll give them a new name that no man knows but them. Which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Let's just go verse 4. Thou shalt no more be term forsaken. Remember back there when I read, for a moment he was going to forsake them. Neither shall thy land anymore be turned desolate, but thou shalt be called Hezbollah, and thy land Beulah. You remember the old song, Beulah Land? I long for thee. No, you don't. That Beulah land he's talking about is that land that they're fighting about over there now. It's going to be Beulah. You ain't getting it. You'll probably see it, might walk through it, but you ain't going to build no house on it. Not yours. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. How's he going to rejoice over? As a bridegroom, right? All right, look in Jeremiah. And notice in Jeremiah, you just go to right a few pages, chapter 3, I believe it is. verse 1, Jeremiah 3, 1. And you ought to be writing these paths down. You should have back there in Isaiah and just marked by the verses and you can just follow them through if you ever want to study them. Verse 1, they say if a man put away his wife, and she go from him and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return again to me, saith the Lord. See, that's the time that he's abandoned them. Oh, she played the harlot. But he's saying, come on back. That's going to be in the future. Look in verse 40, let's see, go down to verse 6, you'll see who it is. And the Lord said also unto me, in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She is gone up, upon every high mountain and on every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. Verse 8, and I saw when for all the cause whereby backsliding Israel committeth adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorcement. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. Come down to verse 14. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am, what? Come on, what did he say? Married unto you, and will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding, and that's when they're gathered back into the land. Everywhere you find that they go astray, God says, I'm going to abandon you for a while, I'm bringing you back. And it's always tribulation. I tell you what, let's see. Let me see another verse here. I don't have time to read the whole verse 22. Return ye backsliding children. I will heal your backsliding. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. See, truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. Look over in Jeremiah. You're there. Turn to 31. Let me use that one. Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. Verse 31. Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them. And he goes and explains the covenant that he will. When he gathers them back, he'll write their laws in their heart. God was a husband. Go to your right and look in Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. And notice in verse 30. Ezekiel 16:30. How weak is thine heart, saith the Lord God, seeth thou doest all of these things, the work of an imperious, whorish woman, in that thou buildest thine eminent place in the head of every way, and makest thy high place in every street, and hast not been as a harlot, in that thou scornest hire. Now, verse 8, but as a wife that committeth adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband. In other words, she's worshiping false gods. She's bound down to Baal. She's worshiping a female in heaven, Astra, and on the thing goes. Look in Hosea. Just keep going to your right. Hosea, I believe it's chapter 2, and you'll come to Daniel and Hosea. Remember that he puts them away, and notice in Hosea 2, verse 2, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. That's why he's abandoned her. He's forsaken her. He said for a moment. And we're in the moment, by the way. If y'all are wondering about that, right now we're in the moment that God has turned his back on her. She's low in mind, not my people. God not dealing with her now. But he will in the future. And that's why people can't distinguish between the body of Christ and the nation Israel. And they take the things that God's going to do in the future and try to apply it today. And it don't fit and it won't work. But he says, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked, and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst, and that's what's happened today. I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. For their mother hath played the harlot, she that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. That would be the nations now. And that's who that they're dependent upon and all that. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns, make a wall that she shall not find her path. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Now watch it. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband. And then, for then was it better with me than now. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. In other words, God was blessing them, and they didn't recognize it. They acclaimed it to Baal, and on and worshiped him. Verse 13 said, I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them, and this is her whoredom. Come over with me. Verse 19, I will betroth thee unto me. How long? You see verse 19? And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in lovingness and in mercy. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. He sows them into the earth. Go to Joel. Go to your right and go to Joel. Joel chapter 1. Notice in verse 8, Joel chapter 1 verse 8. Lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. Notice in chapter 2, verse 16. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. She'd been shut in. She was in a barren land. She was forsaken. And God said, let her out. That'll be during the tribulation period. When the fullness of Gentiles be come in, when the body is complete, we're out of here. God's going to gather them back in that land, and there will be his wife and bride. It has to do with the nation of Israel all the way. But you decide. Don't take my word for it. Let me give you a couple of scriptures and turn to Matthew. Look in Matthew chapter 19. You see that in verse 3, it said the bridegroom goeth forth of his chamber. Look in Matthew 9. Matthew 9. Matthew 9, verse 15, Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and they shall then. And then shall they fast, talking about the 12. He's the bridegroom there, folks. And he's gathering up his remnant, and it'll be regathered, finished gathering them, in the tribulation. Look in 22, Matthew 22, and I know it's time to go, but Matthew 22, notice, verse 1. Jesus answered, spake unto them again by parables, and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, God, which made a marriage for his son. Then it talks about the marriage in the son. And you'll, anyway, I'm not going to get into all of that, but verse 7, but when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. He sent forth his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their cities. That happened in 70 A.D. because they killed the servants and everything. Look with me in Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Matthew 25. In the kingdom of heaven. Notice it's the kingdom of heaven. Be like unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them was wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took the oil in the vessels with the lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. Well, you can't buy salvation for in the dispensation of grace. You can't apply that to the body of Christ to save your life. You can't find nothing about the body of Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, with a flashlight and a magnifying glass big as a hubcap. You can't do it. The rapture's not there, the bride. So all of these things has to do with the nation Israel. They'll be took out of here. They're low in mind now, not my people. But one day the body of Christ, we're here as the body, is going to be took out. The mystery that we're in, the mystery time period, is going to be over. Prophecy will begin to start here. Again, take up where it left off back here. I should say this is Acts 9 and Acts 1 through 8. The apostles in here, they're gathering out. They're the new nation of Israel. They're gathering them back. They reject Paul, Peter, James, and John. They get their heads cut off. They die a martyr's death. God saves Paul in Acts 9. And then the church, one day, it's going to all come back. And they'll take up, and that bride will be finished over here and gathered out in that and go into the kingdom out there. And they're in the city, and that's their inheritance. And it's in heaven right now for them, laid up for them, in the city. You don't get it. Get your eye off the street of gold. You're not going to have part of it. You're not going to have a cabin on the other side. Build me a cabin in the corner of glory, or a mansion. And I want to be next to Jesus and all that. Forget it. Your inheritance is far above all heavens, out there in God's original creation, ruling and reigning with Him. Well, held you late, but might let you go early, too. Might.